what I want to show you just here is John 6:39. John 6:39, Christ says, "And this is the Father's will which have sent me, that of all which you have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." He says that I should lose nothing. Nothing of what? He says, "This is the Father's will which you have sent me, that of all that which you have given me." Talking about people, talking about those that have trusted in Christ. He says that I should lose nothing. The title for the sermon this morning is, "You cannot lose your salvation." You cannot lose your salvation. Okay? Because Christ can't lose anything. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, either salvation is based on Christ or salvation is based on you. And if you say, "Well, it's based on me," then it's a works gospel. It's you trying your best to get to heaven. And you can never be sure. The kinds of questions that I've been receiving the past couple of weeks have been about, you know, can you lose your salvation? And I'm worried, I have doubts, Pastor, about this and that. And again, if I was just basing it on New Life Baptist Church, I don't think I'd preach this sermon, because I believe the majority of you, all of you, know full well that your salvation is on Christ alone, on His finished work, and all that's required of you is to put your simple trust and faith in what Christ has done on your behalf. But I still get the questions, but what if? What if this happens? What if that happens? Can I lose my salvation? And I just have to say to you, no, you cannot lose your salvation, okay? Because Christ can't lose you, okay? So you cannot lose your salvation. Look, we are going to come back to the book of John. Keep a finger there in the book of John. But can you quickly come with me to 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 15. This will be a two-parter sermon, okay? This morning's sermon is going to be the milk of God's word. I just want to reinforce things that are straightforward, things that are easy, right? If Christ says He can lose nothing, if Christ cannot lose those that have come to Him, I mean, just straightforward, basic principle there. You cannot lose it, right? I mean, I'm not going to make this sermon very difficult at all. But then next Sunday, God willing, I'm going to have a second part of this, and we're going to tackle some of the meatier passages of the scripture, or passages that people use to say that you can lose your salvation. And I'll give you an answer to that. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the gospel that saves us. It says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel, that Christ died for us, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You say, "Pastor, what about there where it says where you believed in vain? Can we believe in vain?" Well, if you just keep reading through the chapter, I don't have time to cover that today. You know what it means to believe in vain? It means those that have said, "Yeah, Jesus died for me, but He didn't raise from the dead." There was a denial of those that believe whether there's a resurrection of the dead. And Paul says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ Himself did not rise from the dead, and we are yet dead in our sins. We're going to still die and go to hell. Believing in vain is to reject the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If you believe that, you have believed the gospel, all right? You're there in 1 Corinthians. Come with me to chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. Just very quickly, this gospel is the one that saves you, okay? 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." So what is the preaching of the gospel? Preaching the cross of Christ. It continues in verse number 18. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So what saves us? The preaching of the cross. This makes us saved. It is the power of God. Salvation is the power of God. It is not your power. Okay, I'm trying my best. Yeah, you can't try your best, right? There's no best that you can strive for that can save you. It has to be the power of God, the preaching of the cross, which saves us. And again, I'm not going to just go on about salvation. You know, I think I've preached so many sermons on the gospel, That is crystal clear. It is what Christ has done for us. It's his death on the cross. It's his resurrection, his payment for our sins. Did he pay for some sins? No. You know, everyone we ever ask that question, oh, he paid for all of our sins. He died for all of our sins. Our past, our present, even our future sins has already been paid for. So, but it can't be just the future sins, because now we've got to do our part. But all of your sins have been future sins. From 2,000 years ago, from when Christ died on the cross, he already died for your sins, and all of your sins were future from the time that he died on the cross. So of course he died for your future sins. He's died for all of the sins that you would ever commit in your life, and all the sins that I've ever committed in my life. So I praise God for my Savior. But let's talk about, can we lose our salvation? Can you come with me to John chapter 10? And again, this is the milk of God's word. I'm probably not going to break any new ground here for the members of New Life Baptist Church, but I want you to remember that we do have a lot of other listeners, a lot of people that are interested in our church, that listen to the preaching, and I'm speaking to them first and foremost. Now, hopefully it is a blessing to you anyway this morning, but I don't often think about our online listeners, and I realize there is a lot more people that listen to us than I sort of think about. You know, I'm always kind of talking to them, always responding back and forth to them. And it says here in John chapter 10, we're gonna break this down very carefully, very slowly. John 10, 28. You guys know this, right? Jesus says these words, "And I give unto them eternal life." And I give unto them eternal life. He's talking about his sheep. He's talking about his believers there. Now, if you have believed on Christ, do you have eternal life? Well, Jesus says he's given us eternal life. And the question we often ask when we're preaching the gospel, how long is eternal? How long is everlasting? Well, the response is often, well, it's forever. It cannot end, right? So everlasting means it lasts forever. Eternal means it cannot end. If Christ says that he's given us eternal life, that means it can never end. So can we lose it? No, because there is no end to eternal life, okay? I mean, just by its definition alone means you cannot lose it. You say, I believe you can lose it, then you don't believe you have eternal life. Because eternal is eternal. It lasts forever. Not only that, he continues in verse number 28, and they shall never perish. Never, never. Look, these aren't the words of Pastor Kevin Sepulveda. These are the words of Jesus. He says that you will never perish. But what if you could be saved and then lose it and perish and die and go to hell? Well, that would make Jesus a liar, because he says you can never perish. I mean, just that first part, eternal life means you cannot lose it. They can never perish means you cannot lose it. All right, let's keep going. Continue to verse number 28. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Is Jesus telling the truth or is he lying? So once you're in the hands of Jesus, no man can ever pluck you out. Do you believe that or do you not believe that? Because I'm saying, if you don't believe you have eternal life, you can lose it. If you believe you can still perish, if you believe a man can pluck you out of Christ's hand, I'm just telling you right now, you're not saved. Because you have not understood, you've not believed the gospel. I mean, how clearer can Jesus be in this verse? Say, well, no man can pluck me out of Jesus' hand, but I can pluck myself out of Jesus' hand. Are you not a man? Jesus says, no man can pluck you out of his hand. Oh, but I can do it. Are you stronger than Jesus? Because you're either Jesus or you're either a man or you're God. And you as a man, you think you're stronger than what Christ holds in his hand and says, no man can ever pluck them out of my hand? I mean, are you making Jesus a liar? I can pluck myself out of his hand. Well, then you're stronger than God somehow, and you're not a man. I don't know what you are then. I mean, you don't have many other choices, right? So Christ is just teaching us eternal security right there. And look, not only is there eternal security, not only can you not lose your salvation, you have double eternal security. Because Christ continues then, verse number 29. He continues, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Not only are you eternally secure in the hands of Jesus, You got double eternal security. No man can ever pluck. Who's greater than all the Father is. No man can ever pluck you out of the Father's hand. I mean, that is very secure. I mean, being secure in Christ alone is enough, but the Father as well. I mean, what strength could you possibly have to lose salvation? It's impossible. Amen. It's impossible. You've got to be stronger than Christ, and you've got to be stronger than God the Father to be able to pluck yourself out of his hand. Or you're not a man, or just say you're not saved. If you believe, you can lose it. I'll make it crystal clear you're not saved. Now look, sometimes I go and preach the gospel at the door and you ask people, you know, what do you believe you have to do to be saved? Say, faith alone on Christ, amen, praise God. They give you the right answers, not of works. Christ has died for all of my sins, and they give you the right answer. But then what's also important is that follow-up question. Can you do anything you can do? Is there anything that you can do to lose your salvation? And sometimes people have answered, oh, yeah, mate, I think you can, I guess. I've not really thought about it. Or, you know, some people say you can, and some people say you can't. And I kind of, you know, you kind of get that response. Or, yeah, I think you can lose your salvation. What do you do now, Pastor? Well, I show them, especially something like that passage there in John 10, I show them, look, this is what the Bible says. And you're either going to have one of two responses in that conversation. Quite often, someone says, oh, of course. Oh, yeah, of course. You can't lose your salvation. Oh, of course Christ died for my... It's like you just remove this little dust. You know, you kind of like you just fix things up a little bit. It's like that they've always known it. They've always believed it. But they've just gotten themselves in a bad church. They've gotten themselves under bad preaching. And all of a sudden, they're kind of like questioning, maybe you can lose it. Well, to me, that person, when you just clear the cobwebs a little bit, and they're like, oh, yeah, I mean, of course you can't lose your salvation. Of course it's Christ alone. To me, that person has always been saved. They've just been a little confused. But then you have the other response, and they dig in their heels, and they go, no, you've got to continue in the faith. You've got to do your best, or, you know, what, you know, or, you know, they'll say something right along the lines, and like, doesn't matter what you show them, no. Well, now you know that their actual trust is in their works, is in their ability, all right, is in their ability to maintain a life that is acceptable for heaven rather than simply have trusted Christ alone and the preaching of the cross, the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ rose from the dead. No, that's not good enough. You still have to. Then you're still trusting, or you've always trusted in your works. That person, to me, obviously is not saved and needs to hear the entire gospel message. But sometimes I understand people get, you know, they've been deceived, they've been confused, they're saved, they just get themselves into a bad preacher, and they just, you know, they're not the deceiver, they're the deceived. And I fully recognize that babes in Christ can get confused, okay? But really, what's confusing about these verses that we've looked at so far? I mean, you read that at face value. I mean, this is not some cryptic verse. I mean, it's clearly about eternal life. And you just read that and Jesus says he promises us. I mean, he speaks the truth. He is the truth. And he says we can never lose it once we're saved. And that's it. Like, that should be the end of the story, right? But there is so many false churches. There are so many false prophets out there that confuse the masses. Can you come with me to John 11? John 11:25. John 11:25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, look at this, shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? It's like the same. You'll never perish. Jesus says you will never die. See, Christ says he's a resurrection and a life. He said this in reference to Lazarus who had died. And you know, Christ brings him back from the dead. But one thing that we learn in the Bible is that a saved believer can only be dead once. A saved believer can only be dead once. Because it says in verse number 25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. if you're a saved believer today, there was a time in your life when you were dead. You say, Pastor, but I'm still alive physically. Yeah, obviously it's not talking about physical at that point. It's talking about spiritual, okay? Yes, everybody that is a saved believer, before they were saved, they were spiritually dead. Now you believe on Christ, and now you are alive. And once you're alive, Christ says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So to say you can lose your salvation is to say you're dying again spiritually. You've lost it again. Christ says you can never die. Man, Christ speaks so plainly and so simply. And I thank God salvation is that easy. Praise God, that's such a great, that's good news. The gospel means glad tidings, good news. That's good news. I can never die again. I've believed on him. I live in him. And Christ promises me that I can never die now. You see, a saved believer can only be dead once. And this is why, let me get a little bit deeper here. Come with me to Romans 8. Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse number 8. Romans 6 and verse number 8. Look, if you could lose your salvation, these verses that we've read so far just make no sense. And they're just lies. These verses you'd say, they're just lies. I don't know. I serve a God that cannot lie. That's what the Bible tells me. He cannot lie. He's faithful. He's true. And the Bible says here in Romans 6, verse number 8. Now, if we be dead in Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. So Christ did die once, but he dies no more. Death have no more dominion over him. For that in that he died, look at this, he died unto sin once. So even Christ was dead once. Like we were dead once. Christ died once, okay? But in that he liveth unto God. Then verse number 11, likewise, so in the same way, just like Christ died once and now lives, likewise reckon ye also, so also yourselves, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So just like Christ died once and now lives, likewise we too have been dead that once and we now live in Christ. To say you can lose your salvation is saying that you can die twice. Thrice. What's four? Quadrice. No, four, five, six, seven. No, you can only die once. And we've already been dead once. We've been made alive in Christ. Look, what this is teaching us is if you hypothetically could lose your salvation, you could be dead twice, then in order to be saved again, second time, Christ would have to die twice. And if you could lose your salvation a third time, you'd have to be saved a third time, meaning that Christ would have to die three times. No, Christ died once and he rose from the dead and he lives forevermore, never to die ever again. Likewise, we in Christ were dead in our sins. Now we've been given life. We can never perish. We can never die. Okay, I know it's a little bit deeper, a little bit more, like a little bit deeper of understanding of the scriptures, but I want you to understand why you cannot lose it. Okay, because we all agree Christ died once, and he's not going to die on the cross again a second time. Well, we have followed that same pattern. Once you have believed on Christ, you have life, you can never lose it, you can never die. So a saved believer can only be dead once. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit of God now. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Christ promises us he died for us. We're in the Father's hand who is greater than all. You know, and even the Holy Spirit plays a part in our eternal security. Even the Holy Spirit confirms that we cannot lose our salvation. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I love these verses very much. Because it shows us to believe on Christ is to trust in Christ. Like Roman Catholics, they believe Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead. But that's not what they're trusting in to go to heaven, right? They know it, but that's not what they're trusting in. They're still trusting in confessing their sins to the priest, you know, taking the communion, being affirmed by the church, and whatever it is, whatever all the other little things that they have to do to, you know. And even then, you ask the average Catholic, and they're like, well, I'm not sure, I might go to purgatory. You know, their trust is not on Christ. Their trust is in their traditions of their church, okay? But to believe on Christ is to trust in Christ. He says, who first trusted in Christ, verse number 13, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, so we trusted after we heard the word of truth, after we heard the gospel of our salvation. We've heard the gospel that Christ died for us, that he paid for our sins, and then we go, yes, I'm going to trust that. It says here, in whom also after that ye believed. See, there's the believe, there's the trust. One and the same. And then it says this, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You, now that you're saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? That's that word sealing essentially just means security. We call it eternal security. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? This is a promise that God has laid out for us. Let's keep going there. Verse number 14. Which is the earnest. That means like a down payment. Like a deposit. Okay? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Look at this. Until. So this is. How long is this sealing? How long are we sealed for? This is how long. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You say, what is that? What is the redemption of the purchased possession? That's when we receive our new resurrected bodies and that we're completely saved, not just soul, spirit, but also our flesh. So how long are we sealed with the Holy Spirit of God within us? Till the day of redemption. Okay? So to say you can lose your salvation is to say that we can be unsealed. The Holy Spirit can be removed from our lives in that sense. We can be unsealed and we don't have the promise of the redemption to come. Now, the Bible tells me we're sealed till that day. Come with me to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. Ephesians 4, 30. This is a big doctrinal. You can obviously read these chapters yourself, but this is a big doctrine of the book of Ephesians. It says in Ephesians 4, 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That's just summarizing what we read earlier, right? But we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you can't unseal yourself and lose your salvation or something like this. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you. So you can lose your salvation. How can there be an unsaved man with the Holy Spirit of God sealed within him? That's an impossibility. Can that man go to hell and burn for all eternity and have the Holy Spirit of God as a down payment of his redemption in hell? It makes no sense. The Holy Spirit living within you is evidence that it cannot be lost. You should have a finger in John. Come with me to John 14. John 14, verse number 16. Let's make it simpler. Let's put this in Jesus' words, direct words, in John 14, verse number 16. John 14, 16, Christ says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. Look at this. That he may abide with you forever. Wow. Christ promises us the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. But can that be a true statement if you can lose salvation? If you can unseal the Holy Spirit of promise in your heart? No, this is a true statement. Once Christ gives us that comforter, he abides with us forever. Look at verse number 17. Who is that? Verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the moment you trust in Christ, okay, God's giving you the Holy Spirit of promise, a down payment, a promise of your redemption. He's going to be with you till that day. And Christ says, yep, he'll be with you forever. He'll abide with you forever. Is that a true statement or not? Of course it's a true statement. I mean, I don't know how you read the Bible, like just the clear scriptures, and conclude you can lose your salvation. You've been deceived by a devil. You've been deceived by a false prophet. You've been deceived by someone that hates you. Okay? You've been deceived by somebody that does not have the Holy Spirit of promise living within them. And yes, that can even be an independent fundamental Baptist pastor. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what title they carry. If they teach you, you can lose your salvation. That is not a man of God. That is not a man that even understands the gospel. So the Holy Spirit confirms for us that we cannot lose our salvation. Sorry, I should have told you to keep there stay there in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, but if you can, come with me to Ephesians 2 and verse number 5. You know, I already spoke to you about how we have been dead once and now we're alive and we cannot die again. In in Ephesians 2, verse number 5, it says, even when we were dead in sins, all right, that's in the past, have quickened us, the word quicken is to make alive, have quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. So we know that's about salvation. It continues, look at this, verse number 6, and hath, present tense, and hath raised us up together and made us, past tense, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit together, where? In heavenly places. You know what? As far as God is concerned, we already sit in heaven. Say, how? I'm not there. In Christ Jesus. Christ seated in heaven represents we are already there as far as God is concerned. We are already seated in heaven in Christ Jesus. So again, who is our salvation? It's Christ. We're already in heavenly places. And you think we can lose salvation and go to hell? We're already in heaven. If Christ is in heaven and we're in Christ, we're already in heaven, spiritually speaking, from God's perspective. I know you're sitting here in a little mountain, but don't worry. Spiritually, in Christ, you're in heaven. That's simple words. I mean, we're already there. I mean, again, most people would say, once you're in heaven, okay, you can't lose it there. We're already there. So you cannot be lost. Salvation cannot be lost. You cannot lose your salvation. Come with me to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Now, in my general conversations that I have with people, I would say the main reason people get confused on this topic is because they just do not understand the dual nature of the believer. Once you have believed on Christ, you have a dual nature. The Bible speaks about this extensively in so much detail, yet people miss it. We have two natures, the flesh, the old man, the carnal. Okay, that is selfish. That loves to sin. That flesh loves to do things contrary to God's ways. You've got that in you, by the way. Don't deceive yourselves, it's there. We're battling against that flesh all the time. That's one part. That part's always has been there from the moment you were born, pretty much. I mean, it's there. I mean, it's the flesh. It's in our bodies. It's our members. It's our sin nature that we have within us. But the moment you believe in Christ, You've passed from death unto life, and now you have the new man, the spirit, the new creature. Okay? Different words that God uses for this term. And that nature is constantly at battle one with another. That new man loves God. Right? That new man wants to be in church. The old man doesn't want to be in church. The new man wants to read the Bible. The old man doesn't want to read the Bible. The new man wants to preach the gospel. The old man does not want to preach the gospel. And so on and so forth in your daily living. And you got that constant battle. And then when you're tempted to sin, the new man says, don't give in to the temptation. And the old man says, but who's going to find out? And when you sin, the old man gets his way. Okay? But let's learn about the dual nature of the believer. John chapter 3, verse number 5. John chapter 3, verse number 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Dual natures. You were born of the flesh when mum gave birth to you, and you're born of the Spirit when God gave birth to you. Okay? So I'll talk about being born again. Now, just this alone. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. That alone just confirms it, that you cannot lose your salvation. Why? Because once you've been born of mum, you cannot be unborn from mum. You cannot go back into your mother's womb and do the process backward to the point that you didn't exist. Once you're born into your family, your earthly family, you are always part of that earthly family. If my kids run away and say, Dad, I want nothing to do with you guys ever again, I never see them. Every cell of their body says they are my child, right? Every cell of their body says that. Everybody would say, yeah, you may never see them again, but that's still your child. Yeah, because once you're born into a family, you cannot be unborn out of that family. Well, what about once you're born into God's family? Every cell of your new creature, of the new man, is of the Spirit of God. You cannot lose your salvation, because once you're born into God's family, you are always a member of God's family. You cannot be unborn. See, we have a dual nature. The moment you believe in Christ and you're born again. See, people misunderstand this. They think somehow the moment, those that teach this stuff, that, you know, yes, you're corrupt, you've got sinful flesh, you've got a sin nature, and the moment you're saved, somehow that sin nature just becomes a new creature, it becomes a spiritual man, and so now you're just the spirit alone. Like you were the flesh, now you're the spirit. And if you're doing bad things, well, you lose it because, see, you're not the spirit. You're not walking in the spirit. You're that old dead flesh once again. I'm telling you right now, there's two parts of you right now, dual nature. And if you've been saved long enough, you know the battle that you have within you constantly every single day of your life. Part that wants to sin, a part that just wants to glorify God and do what is right. Look at John 1, please. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse number 12. John chapter 1, verse number 12. It says, but as many as received him, as many as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When were you made a son of God? The moment you believed on the name of Jesus Christ. The moment you trusted him, you've been made a son. You've been born into the family. Look at verse number 13. Which were born. So we were born, right? The moment we believe in his name, which were born, not of blood, say not flesh, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The moment you believe in Christ, you were born of God. You're born again. You now have the Spirit living within you. I want you to notice that, okay? It's born of the flesh. It's born of God. Born of, you know, of water, born of the Spirit. Born of the water is mother's waters when she gave birth to you. They were broken, you came out, right? That's the born of the water, born of the flesh. But I want you to notice that you're born again the moment you believe on his name. He's giving you the power to become the sons of God. That means, because people say to me all the time, oh, but we're all children of God. No, you're not. If you don't believe on Christ, you're not a child of his. You get the power to become his child the moment you believe on Christ. Dual natures, okay? Constant warfare that we have within one another, within ourselves. Can you come with me to Romans 8, please? Come with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, 15. Romans 8, 15. Romans 8, 15. Romans 8, 15. All I'm showing you here is that new nature, that spiritual nature, is born of God. And the moment you're born of God, you're his child. Not only are you his child, that obviously makes God your father. Not just Christ's father, but your father and my father. And in John 8:15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at this, verse number 16. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, itself beareth witness with our spirit. Remember, we're born of the Spirit. With our spirit, that we are the children of God. How can you be sure that you're a child of God? God's Spirit witnesses to my spirit that I am. I know that I'm a child of God. How do you know that? Because I believed on his Son. But what about your life? Who cares about my life? I trusted him as my Savior. Not by the will of man is salvation. Salvation is of God, being born of God. How do you get born of God? You trust in Christ. You believe the gospel. I mean, look, that is the simplicity. I don't know how more simple I can make it there. You believe on Christ. You trust him that he's paid for your sins, that he died, was buried, he rose again. You're saved. Not only saved, you're born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears record to your spirit that you're a child of God. You can cry to God, Abba Father. Abba means Father. You can speak to him as your Heavenly Father because we're family. And once you're born into a family, you cannot be unborn out of that family. I mean, I don't know how you read the Bible and think you can lose your salvation. How? What? Now, come with me to 1 John. Keep a thing in Romans. Come with me to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9. And this is where people get all confused and, I don't know, think you can lose it, right? It's because they don't know the dual nature. Once you understand the dual nature, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 9 makes perfect sense. Okay? 1 John chapter 3, verse number 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So what do they say? So see, if you sin, you lose your salvation. Hold on. Let's keep going there. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So if I sin, that means I must not be born of God, or I've lost it, or something like that. No. You forgot the dual nature already. What part of you is born of God? The flesh or the spirit? The spirit is born of God. The new man, the spirit, doth not commit sin. Amen. So what commits sin? The flesh. The other part of you, right? That stubborn, rebellious part of you, that commits sin. But even when you commit sin in this fleshly body, the spirit within you doth not commit sin. It remains perfect. You know how people say, do you believe in sinless perfection? I try to be careful, but yes, I do. Yes, I do believe in sinless perfection. My new man, my spirit, since I was 4 years old that believed on Christ, has never committed a single sin in its life. I've been perfect for, how old am I now, Christina? Where is she? She's gone. I think I'm 43. I've been perfect for 39 years of my life. I've never committed sin for 39 years in the spirit. But in the flesh, let's not talk about that guy. That's a dual nature. These verses make sense. Born of God doth not commit sin. Your spirit, the new man, the new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new to the new creature. The flesh, man, the old things, still loves it. If I give time to that flesh, he'll chase all the old things that he used to love. But the new creature, no, man. All things are new to that man. You see, the old flesh, that's going to die. That's going to be in the grave, okay, until the resurrection. But the moment I die in my sinful flesh, guess where my spirit is going? Where Christ is. It's already sitting in heavenly places. I'll just wake up. Oh, I've been sitting here the whole time. I mean, this is where I belong. You know, Christ is, this is the promise of God. My spirit, my new man, my soul will be with God forever when this old flesh hits the grave. Before it hits the grave, it dies and then goes to the grave. Now, when you understand this, we can go to a passage like Romans 7. Come with me to Romans 7. Romans 7. Let me explain this a little bit further, right? Because I read John 1:3-9. I gave you my explanation, but forget my explanation for now. Let's go to Paul's explanation, okay? Paul's explanation in Romans 7. Romans 7, verse number 14. Romans 7. And I told you, this doctrine of the dual nature is found everywhere in the Bible. Okay? Well, I should say maybe even like it's more clearly taught so in the New Testament. Okay? You can find it in the Old Testament, don't get me wrong. Okay? But it's very clearly defined for us in the New Testament. In Romans 7, please, verse number 14. Romans 7:14. Now, before I read it, Paul is already a saved man. He's writing epistles to the Roman church, not the Roman Catholic church, the church that was at Rome, okay? He writes these epistles, and he says this in verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. He goes, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Look, present tense, I am carnal. And then you've got these Paul washers in the world that says there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. What a liar. Paul says he's carnal. Paul says he's sold under sin, meaning he's a slave to sin. He's like, man, I can't help but sin. I'm carnal, he says. He says it at a point where he's clearly saved, right into a New Testament church. And then he explains why he's carnal. Verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Because I hate these sins. And I still do it. There's nothing wrong with you, by the way, if you sin. And you realize you hate doing it and you still do it. That's welcome to the old man. You've had him since you were born. This is just real life humanity. This is why you needed a savior. This is why we can't save ourselves. He goes, man, I hate it and I still do it. The things that I do not allow, the things that I refuse, I still do it. He goes, I'm carnal. I'm sold in the sin. Verse number 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, look at this. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Huh? You just said you're carnal, but now you're saying you don't do it. It is no more I that do it. Because what is he talking about? Yeah, my flesh does it, but it's not I that do it. He's talking about the new man. He's talking about the spirit, okay? Can you prove that, Pastor? Let's continue there. In verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He says, I want to do what's right, but if I'm just in the flesh, I just can't do it. If I'm just in the flesh, I'm doing sin. And then he says in verse number 19, for the good that I would, I do not. So I want to do good, but I don't do it. But the evil which I would not, that I do. But then he says this in verse number 20. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And you can keep reading that chapter if you want. Okay? He talks about the sin, the flesh, the lusting against the spirit against the flesh, and so on and so forth. But you see, when you sin, okay, it's sin that is in you, that dwells in you, that does it, but not you. Not the real you. Not that other nature that's born of God, the Spirit. That does not sin. He goes, I don't want to sin. Like the Spirit. No, don't sin. The flesh goes, I'm going to sin anyway. He goes, but I don't, I'm over here though. But thy flesh, that's your battle every single day of your life. Obviously, you've got to be walking in the Spirit to be able to do that which is good and righteous and holy in the eyes of God. You see, the flesh has not been reformed. You cannot fix the old man. All you can do with the old man is crucify that guy every single day of your life. Just go away and die, old man. I'm walking in the new man. I'm walking in the Spirit of God. And the old man comes back to life. And there he is again. You say, go and die again, please. I'm trying to walk in the new man, but that you've got that dual nature. Say, Pastor, how do I ultimately just get rid of that old man? Well, it's not your you can't tell your old man when to stop completely. God decides. When you're in the grave, the old man's finished. That's the last you're going to have to deal with the old man the moment you die, okay, and your spirit goes to heaven. And then God takes whatever's left of that old man, fixes it, resurrects it, gives it the power of Christ, made like unto Christ, and then that new man, that new body, resurrected body, can be reunited at the rapture with that spirit that we have within us, and then we're completely saved, body, soul, and spirit, you know? And that's the day of our redemption. That's what I'm looking forward to the most, is when I don't have to put up with that old flesh anymore. It gives me so many headaches. So we'll say, well, if you commit sin, you can lose your salvation. Your flesh is constantly committing sin. Your flesh is constantly thinking of foolish things. It can't be helped. You're sold under sin. You're carnal. That part is done. The best you can do is walk in a new man, in the holiness of God, and say, Lord, crucify that old man. Help me out here, Lord. I'm trying to do what is righteous and holy and true. See, you are sinless. You do have sinless perfection in the new man. You can't lose it. But if you sin, my new man never sins. But I saw you sin. That's sin that dwells in me, not I that do it. That's how Paul explains it. This battle, but the new man never sins. Never sins. So I just find most people just don't understand the dual nature of the believer. And obviously the worst case scenario is that they simply do not understand and therefore do not believe the true gospel. Can you come with me to 1 John chapter 5, please? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look, I'm just telling you, if you believe you can lose your salvation, and it's not just cobwebs, you've heard bad preaching, you got confused. You're like, no, you can lose it. I'm just telling you now, you're not saved.
Amen.
You're not saved. Okay, you've not understood, you've not believed the gospel. And I'm not mad at you. I'm sad. I'm sad that you've been lied to. I'm sad that you received another gospel. Let me help you understand the true gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So which witness is greater? The man's witness or God's witness? God's witness is greater, right? All right. God, what is your witness? I want to hear directly from you. It says this, "For this is the witness of God, which he have testified of his Son." All right, let's hear it, God. Verse number 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." So if you believe on Christ properly, like the Bible teaches us, to put our trust in him, you already have this witness in yourself. Look at this. "He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." So you either believe the witness, witness means record, one and the same. You either have believed the record, you've believed the witness, or you have not. And if you've not believed the record, if you've not believed the witness, you make God a liar. You don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. You don't believe the gospel. You say, what's the record? What is this witness? Well, let's keep going there. Verse number 11. "And this is the record." Okay, can't be any clearer. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Present tense. God hath given to us what? Eternal life. Do you believe that record today? No, no, I think you can lose it. Then you don't believe you have eternal life. Because eternal means it lasts forever. If you say you can lose it, you're saying that it does not last forever. No, no, no. I believe the record. God has given me eternal life. I'm not waiting for eternal life. I have it. I have it now. If I were to drop dead this very second, I'm in heaven forever because I've got life eternal. I believe that record. That witness is in me. The Holy Spirit testifies that I am a child of God because I believe that record. I believe God. I'm not making him a liar. I believe the witness that God has given of his Son, that I have eternal life, meaning I can never lose it. And look at that. Kiss continues. "And this life," that's the eternal life, "is in his Son." So how'd you get that eternal life? In Jesus. It's not me trying my best and not losing it or gaining it. No, if it's about me, how, if I can lose it or gain it, I'm trying to do it in me. No, it's in Jesus. I got eternal life in Jesus Christ. I got the life that Christ has. It lives in me. I believe that record that I have eternal life. I believe it. I was once dead and Christ died once and now I live in Christ. I have his eternal life. It's in Christ. It's not in my efforts. It's in Jesus Christ and his efforts, dying for me, paying for my sins, being buried and rising again from the dead 3 days later. So I know I'm saved. Sounds very boastful. Sometimes people think, no, I'm boasting of Jesus. The life is in Christ. I believe the record. Do you believe the record? Look at verse number 12. "He that hath the Son hath life." Okay, so that life is eternal, right? I have eternal life, so I have the Son. "And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Do you have eternal life? If you say you can lose it, you're saying you don't have eternal life. And if you don't have the life, you don't have the Son. And if you don't have the Son, you don't believe the record that God gave of his Son. You have not believed the gospel. You have not believed it. Oh, I do believe it. You've not trusted in Christ alone. You believe it like a Roman Catholic. You know Christ did it, but that's not what you're trusting in. Yeah, you know he did it for you, but you still have to, otherwise you lose it. No, the record is eternal life. I believe the witness of God more than the witness of man. If some preacher has told you can lose your eternal life, okay, he's witnessing of things that are false. I'm trying to tell you what God has witnessed of, that it's eternal. Eternal life in his Son. This is why I don't look at my own personal life to see whether I'm saved or not. Because sometimes I'm in the new man and I do what is right, and sometimes the old man gets his way and does what is wrong. And if I'm basing it on this and that, yes, I guess you can lose it. But no, salvation is on Christ. It's his life in me, his power, his payment for my sins. It's Christ alone. Faith alone, trust alone, in Christ alone, eternal life. I believe that record. I've received the witness of God. And if you believe you can lose it, you've received the witness of a false prophet. And I say that in love, because I want you to be saved. I want you to believe the right gospel, because that is the one that saves you. And the moment you believe it, you have eternal life, cannot be lost. Can you come with me to John, please? John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I've got a few verses here, but we'll go through them quickly. We're near the end now. John chapter 3, verse number 16, the most famous verse of the Bible. John 3, 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How long is everlasting? Cannot be lost. Does never end. The moment you believe on Christ, what do you have? Life that never ends. Simple. Most famous verse in the whole Bible. That alone testifies that salvation cannot be lost. Drop down to verse number 36. Same chapter. John 3:36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." How long is everlasting? Forever. Pastor, you already said that. I know, but I'm just showing you the Bible testifies of this over and over and over again. You've got it. You trusted Christ alone. You've got everlasting life right now. Look at this. "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So the one that does not believe in Christ shall not see life. Look, if you don't have everlasting life, then you have not believed on the Son. You're still believing in a church, or you're still believing in your works. You're still believing in your efforts. No, I've trusted Christ, but I just think if you don't do enough, you can lose it. Then you're still trusting in your own abilities. Because I'm unfaithful at times. I'm ready to admit to you, I am carnal, sold under sin. But that's the old man. And when the old man messes up, I'm not wondering, oh, am I saved? Because I know the new man never sinned. The new man in Christ Jesus, that's seated in heavenly places, that's got the down payment, the earnest inheritance of the Holy Spirit of God. God promises that eternal, everlasting life. I got it. I believe that record that God has given of his Son. Can you come with me to John 5, John 5, 24? John 5, 24. John 5, 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Not just that. "And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Shall not see. Sorry, shall not come into condemnation. To be condemned is to be damned. Once you believe on Christ and you have everlasting life, you cannot be damned. You've passed from death unto life. You can only be dead once as a believer. Now you have life. You live with Christ for all eternity. John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20, verse number 31. John chapter 20 and verse number 31. Pastor, you're reading a lot from the book of John. Why are you doing that? A lot of passages from John. I mean, it's the word of God, number one. What does it matter? But John chapter 20, verse number 31 says, John 20, 31. "But these are written," this is why he wrote this book, "that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." My hope and prayer for those that believe you can lose your salvation is that you too would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing on him, you might have life through his name. His name, not your name, your efforts. Look at me. I'm maintaining my salvation. I lost it and I got it back. It's not you. You believe it in His name, His work for you, His payment. Look, if you believe you can lose your salvation, you are not saved. You need to get saved. And if you listen online and you still have doubts, reach out to me, because this is the most important thing. This is by far the most important doctrine of the whole Bible. You'd rather get this one right and everything else wrong than everything else right and this one wrong. This is the number one doctrine. This is the salvation of your soul. This will determine whether you will end up in heaven or in eternal torments in hell. Come with me to one more passage, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This is where we had the reading from. John chapter 6, verse number 39. John chapter 6, verse number 39, where we had the reading from. Let me read that verse again. John 6, 39. "And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which He have given me, I should lose nothing." Jesus says this is the Father's will for Him. He will lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now, did Christ fulfill His Father's will? Of course. "Not my will be done, but Thy will be done." Christ came to fulfill the will of His Father, that He would lose nothing. Do you believe that worked? Do you believe He fulfilled it? I do. I believe once I'm in Christ, I can never be lost. But you can lose yourself. No, but Christ will not lose you. You can be like the prodigal son, and you can go your way for a period of time and just live your carnal, earthly life away from God. But you're still a child of the Father. You're still a child of God. You know, you're just allowing the wicked flesh to have its way, sold in the sin, carnal nature. But even then, the Father was always ready, you know that story, looking out, waiting for His Son to come back to Him. Not to come back to get re-saved, but just to be back in fellowship with the Father. Let's continue then that verse number 40. "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you notice how he associates he should lose nothing with that he may have everlasting life? Once you are saved, you have everlasting life. It can never be lost. Christ can never lose you. No man can ever pluck you out of His hand or the Father's hand. You are eternally secure. The title for the sermon is, "You cannot lose your salvation." This is not some lie from the pit of hell, some lie of the devil. This is the truth of God's word. This is the gospel. This is the good news. What kind of good news is that? Well, Christ opened the doors, but you still got to do your best to make it there. Even Paul says he's sold in the sin. If Paul was trying to be saved by his efforts, he would recognize he's on his way to hell. Now, I'm not going to heaven based on my cleaning up of my life. Going to heaven based on the life of Christ in Him, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You cannot lose your salvation. And brethren, if you have any doubts, I don't think anyone in this church does, but if you do, look, talk to me, please. I don't think you're stupid. You need to get saved. That's the most important thing. You need to get saved. Okay, let's go to a word of prayer.